Сяда сухий дуби, завтра мороз буде. Ой, собирайся, молодий козачі, завтра покід буде. Ой, собирайся, молодий козачі, завтра покід буде.
Ой, я морозу дай не боюся, зараз розіллюся. Ой, я походу дай не боюся, зараз соберуся. Ой, я походу дай не боюся, зараз соберуся.
Під'їжджає під куршмоньку, низенько вклонився. Прости, прощай, грома, грома, доньку, може, з ким сварися. Прости, прощай, грома, грома, доньку, може, з ким сварися. Твоя вибирки, вирви соковирки, Женьки, верніться додому. Ой, ви хлопці, славні козаченьки, верніться додому.
Was Helena Kureshko and Maxim Bereznyuk with a song called Suchy Dube, Dry Oak, which is actually a song about a soldier going off to war. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачі «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння на багатомовній радіостанції АМ 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. З вами Павліна. Добрий вечір and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm your host, Pavlina. On today's program, we've got a feature interview conducted by Anton Lysenko of Victoria, who along with his wife, Daria, is beginning to populate the Nash Holos YouTube channel with some fascinating interviews. Today we'll share the interview that he recently posted with Roman Lisiak, who is the founder of Toronto's Ukrainian Film Festival. As well, Vasil Pavlovsky from Montreal will be joining us with Cultural Capsule and a story about a prolific Ukrainian author who survived Stalin only to be killed by Putin. As well, we've got news from Ukraine, community events brought to us by Olena Skorohod, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is Kozak System with a tribute to the brave defenders of Mariupol. Here they are with Azovstal.
Марія свята, ти їх збережи. Мене не жалій, я вже на межі. Ти бачила все, тут Бога нема. Тут тільки вогонь і свіжа зола. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. У темряві бачу я очі твої. Повір, тут ми всі нестерпно живі. Повір, що я чую молитву твою. За тебе, за неньку, за вас тут стою. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов, не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов, не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов, не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов, воскреснемо знов, воскреснемо знов.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for the past 60 years. Since 1963, the Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing artists and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holos listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit www.shevchenkofoundation.ca.
This is Anton Lysenko for Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Don't miss our new in-depth interview with the expert in foreign policy Oleksandr Kraev. Together we'll discuss the security assistance deal that Canada recently signed with Ukraine. The full version of the interview in English language you can find on the YouTube channel Ukrainian Roots Radio Nash Holos.
Without you. навколо прив, без тепла, але без вас. Вікна темно повсюди, палять свічки всі люди, хоч без світла та без вас. Знищені всі мережі, терпіння вже на межі, без зв'язку, але без вас. Життя кипить у місті, ми співаємо пісні, голосно, аби без вас.
From Toronto, that was Nastasia Y with a song called Biz Vas, Without You, a song she recently released that reflects the determination and resilience of the Ukrainian people. Up next, our Anton Lysenko of Victoria, in conversation with Roman Lysiak, founder of Toronto's Ukrainian Film Festival.
Welcome to the studio of Ukrainian Rus Radio Nash Volos. Today we have Roman Lysiak with us. He is the founder and organizer of the Toronto Ukrainian Film Festival, which is going on right now in Toronto, April 4th. Hello, Roman.
Hi. Hi, Anton.
When this idea of the organizing film festival first came to you?
Our first film festival was last year. In March of last year. I live here in Toronto, and we live in a predominantly Polish neighborhood. We were out for dinner one night, and I saw that the local cinema was having the Polish Film Festival. I started looking around, curious to know if there was a Ukrainian film festival going on anywhere. There was nothing in Toronto. Why can't we do something like that? And I started searching to see what kind of films were available. And what Ukraine was putting out at that time, and was completely blown away with the quality, the variety, the strength, as well as all the awards that the films were winning on the world stage at a festival such as TIFF, Cannes, Sundance, and this year, 20 Days in Mariupol has won an Oscar. So we decided to put a festival on to showcase these films. Also, by showcasing the films, we are fundraising as well. So all of our proceeds go to two foundations. One is the Second Front Foundation, and the other one is CUF, Canada-Ukraine Foundation. So it is it's a fundraising event, but also celebrating modern Ukrainian cinema, culture, and trying to showcase this art to Canadians. Torontonians, to the general public, just to showcase what modern Ukraine is actually achieving in the arts and cultural world.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this job, because Toronto has one of the most biggest, I guess, Ukrainian population abroad, and it's very sad that we didn't have any Ukrainian movie festival. This is already the second time you organize this festival in Toronto. Are you excited about that? And what's your expectation?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. I'm very excited. Last year, we put the whole film festival together in 2.5 months, from conception to execution, and from all the help that we got from Second Front, my partner Pamela as well. We worked hours and hours. We put that together, and we ended up selling 1,500 tickets and generated $30,000 in humanitarian aid. This year, we're hoping we've expanded. We have 10 showings this year rather than 8 of last year. We have an opening reception as well, where we're pushing for networking from Ukrainian filmmakers and Canadian media and film as well, so they can at least cross-pollinate, hopefully make some relationships. So we're excited about the added scope that we're doing, the added films that we're doing, and the networking that we're at least putting on the table for people to network across just to help support Ukrainians here that have moved and have moved from Ukraine, been displaced. We have a director that was is now living in Vancouver. She's flying in, the director of Vidana or Felix Austria. We also have the assistant director for Klondike that's going to be here as well, doing some question and answered period Q&As. So yeah, it's expanding. It's a little bit bigger. We're excited. We're excited to see, how many people fill our seats, and how much money we can generate for the humanitarian efforts.
Do you have a plan maybe to bring this movie festival to some other Canadian city for next year or somewhere in the future?
So we started a corporation, a nonprofit corporation called Kino Canada Inc. And Kino Canada puts on the Toronto Ukrainian Film Festival. We registered it as a federal corporation, thinking that we could somehow, provide content, collect content, and engage other cities to show it. There's a couple of other organizations that are doing that now. Ukraine Harmony Foundation is doing that. They kind of do more one-off things rather than a whole collection of films, but we've teamed up with them as well. Like, I think we're stronger when we work together. So we've reached out to Ukraine Harmony. They're helping us put on Luxembourg on Sunday, with all the proceeds going to Ukraine Harmony. So I feel that we're stronger when we work all together. Hopefully we can work with Ukraine Harmony again and see if we can get some more films across Canada nationwide. So the film festival, okay. I don't know, that's a lot to organize over across an entire, it's hard enough to do it just around the corner from my house. So
I believe you.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, crazy. Yeah.
So let's talk about the festival particularly. What's new have you brought to the festival this year?
All the films are new. Yep. We're not showing the same ones as last year, but we're trying to be very conscious of the content as well. We're showing two documentaries, actually three. One at the front end, one at the back end, and one right in the middle. But we're trying to provide a variety of films, including historical drama. We've got a couple of comedies. One's a dark comedy. One's a little bit lighter. We have an opening reception as well that I was saying after our first film today. Tonight, we're going to be welcoming the Polish consulate. A couple of dignitaries, MPs are showing up and to celebrate Ukrainian culture. So but with it being larger, new films and also guests is what makes this year's festival bigger and better.
In terms of selection process, can you tell me how does the selection happening in your festival?
So the selection, because we're primarily trying to fundraise, we do not have sort of a whole committee of critiques, reviewers for submissions. We go out and we look at, we have contacts now in the Ukraine film industry who are now here, specifically one, Anna Palenchuk, a co-producer of In the Rear View that we're opening up with. She's been instrumental in helping us acquire a lot of our films. So we've worked with her to make the selections, as well as she knows a lot of where some of these directors are and has helped us get them here for the Q&A sessions. So the selection process is just literally going through the films that are on the docket at this point, selecting ones that we feel work with our, not to, have a variety of films and different. And the thing is, now we're going to start getting into a time where there's less and less of large feature productions, because the government in Ukraine is now putting all their funding into defense and not into films. Most of the films that will be coming out will be documentary, like we're seeing right now. They're lower budget. More people can do them. They tell the story of what people are going through there, which is very important, like 20 Days in Mariupol. So we might, next year, we might need to start, looking further back into previous years and other films that were done previously as well, just to keep that variety. I think the variety is very important.
Do you expect a Canadian audience in your festival?
So the Canadian audience, that's, you know, I'm actually a home builder and an architect previously. So I have a lot of contacts now in the architectural industry community, as well as the arts community here in Toronto. And I am trying my best to at least make that whole community, the arts community, the Toronto arts community, aware of this festival. I think one of my key goals is to have Canadians come and see these films, not just the Ukrainian diaspora. I think right now the struggle that Ukraine is going through right now is going on for a longer period of time. You know, there's a fatigue as well, which we need to address. And so if we can keep sort of a positive nature on Ukraine's modern aspects, its arts and culture, what it's producing, and showcase that to Canadian audiences, it keeps Ukraine in their minds and their support. So that way we can rally Canadians in behind Ukrainians and what they're going through in terms of their struggle right now.
Do you think Canadian starting to forgetting about the war in Ukraine, which is going on already 2 years, and of course the 10 years of the annexation of the Crimea and Donbass?
Yeah. I think so. But that's another reason why we're putting this on. It just keeps it on the forefront, but it rather than, you know, showing what the pain and the suffering that is going on there, which is important for people to know about. I'm striving to show what Ukrainian culture and contemporary culture has made and is still making, and highlighting what the struggles are that they're going through. But trying to show a hopeful material as well. A culture is what makes a nation. Without a culture, without its language, its music, its film, its art, its sculpture, you know, a nation doesn't have very good foundations if it doesn't have its art and culture. So to celebrate its contemporary art and culture is very important in making a nation as well. I think one of our volunteers that works at Second Front said it very well, that kultura – це наша зброя. The culture is our armament. It's our weapon. So we stand behind that and put a positive foot forward as well, along with defense.
Can you name a couple movies that you strongly recommend to watch during this festival in Toronto?
The opening film in the rear view is a very, very strong film. I saw it and we helped promote the film at TIFF this year. I know when Maciek Hamala, the director, he was up on stage and somebody asked him, you know, did you have, you know, what was your experience in the danger aspect? Maciek is a filmmaker from Poland who decided, dropped his camera, dropped all of his work, and spent 6 months driving a van. He bought a van and was driving people from hotspots in Ukraine across the border into Poland to help people evacuate. 6 months into it, he thought and said, you know, I should be telling these people's stories. I'm a filmmaker. So he coordinated having a filmmaker in the passenger seat, and the movie is filming people in the back seat, but is so artfully done, so well edited. It's a debut for the director as well as the editors, and it's super powerful without being, you know, showing the shelling, all that. It's about the people and their stories. So very well made. That's we're starting off with that one. On a lighter note, we have Luxembourg, a story about two brothers and their father on his deathbed. Their sort of cultural quirkiness, humor of the two brothers, their relationship with their dad. We have a historical drama, Felix Austria, which looks really beautiful. You know, putting on a historical drama with all the costumes and the scenery is quite a task to take on, and I'm really excited to see how that comes out and how the audience takes to that. So I think those three, if you want a good variety of them, Klondike won tons of awards, so we're showing that Saturday night. Yeah, I would say between those four. It's a good variety and a good selection.
Thank you, Roman, for your answer. So Roman Lysak was here with us. He spoke about the Toronto Ukrainian Film Festival, which is going on right now in Toronto from the April 4th to the April 7th in the Royal Cinema Place. Thank you, Roman, again.
Anton, дуже дякую. Thank you so much.
Thanks to Anton Lysenko of Victoria for that interview. You can watch the interview and others by Anton and his lovely wife Daria on the Nash Holos YouTube channel. Do subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well as to our podcast feed, website, and Patreon page if you haven't already. If you like our work and would like to support us, please become a patron on our Patreon page. Links in the podcast show notes and at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Up next, popular Ukrainian bandurist Georgi Matveyev with a song from his album, Source of Inspiration. Here he is with Dream. Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Павліна.
This is Anton Lysenko for «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. Don't miss our new in-depth interview with the expert in foreign policy Oleksandr Kraev. Together we'll discuss the security assistance deal that Canada recently signed with Ukraine. The full version of the interview in English language you can find on the YouTube channel Ukrainian Roots Radio Nash Volos.
Ukraine is under deadly attack, and Ukraine War Amps is asking for your help with a donation today. Funds are desperately needed by Ukrainian defenders for bulletproof jackets, helmets, walkie-talkies, food, water, and gas, and by civilians, including children, for food, water, and medications, and when possible, escape to safety. Please donate today to Ukraine War Amps via PayPal, e-transfer to ukrainewaramps@gmail.com, or visit ukrainewaramps.ca.
Скоро часи ще хороші, і ми звать буде пісні Божі, і не ворог, і не вернеться, не смердитиме порох, куля не полетить серце. Ворога поборемо, ворога поборемо, ворога поборемо, беремо та й робимо. Ворога поборемо, ворога поборемо, ворога поборемо, беремо та й робимо. Шабалина блискавиця, музика в дорозі знадобиться. Добре там, де вас нема, від села та й до села, від деревні до міста, відбулося неспроста. Поєднала, розгубила різна кольорова злива.
Ukraine's popular Kozak Siromaha with Voroha Poboremo, we will defeat the enemy.
Hello, I'm Vasily Polosky and welcome to Cultural Capsule here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I hope the coming of spring has been positive for all of you. Spring is a period of regeneration and thawing of the earth that has been frozen. The migratory birds begin to return, and many individuals look forward to warmer days. The ugly genocidal war against Ukraine by Putin and his twisted ideas of history has entered its third year. It has contributed to the death of thousands of people, sometimes directly and at times indirectly, because of the calamity that is war. After the death of Stalin, Soviet Ukraine experienced what became known as the Khrushchev Thaw. This period allowed Ukraine more liberty in expressing its culture and language. In literature and other arts, there appeared a group that became to be known as the Shestidesyatniki, or the 60ers. I've been blessed to having met some of those people, though unfortunately I never met a woman from this group that produced some incredibly passionate contemporary artwork and designs to preserve Ukrainian culture in many areas. Her name is Lyubov Panchenko, and she created many masterpieces in both the graphic and fashion worlds. Unfortunately, the word Holodomor, which means death by starvation, resonates in the generational memory of Ukrainians, and it was starvation which brought an end to a very ardent supporter of the Ukrainian cause. All death is unfortunate, though it seems very cruel to me that I learnt of the death of Lyubov Panchenko, who contributed to the rebirth of many traditions through her art. From the reintroduction of pisankarstvo, the art of writing Ukrainian Easter eggs, to introducing the Koliada and Vertep nativity play in the Kiev region during the Khrushchev Thaw. Lyubov Panchenko was true to her home. She was born in the village of Yablunka on the outskirts of Bucha on February 2, 1938, later to be incorporated into Bucha. This is the place that became very ugly during the onslaught of Putin's orcs. It is now known as the Bucha Massacre. She was a very ardent supporter of the independence of Ukraine, like many others of her generation. Though when she decided to study in the field of arts in her youth, her parents were far from supportive. Some sources indicate that this was the case when she was studying at the Kiev School of Applied Arts in the 1950s, and may have eaten very poorly. After graduation, she worked in a tailoring workshop, ever expanding her interest in the arts. And by the late 1960s, she had developed an interest in the art of linocut. In 1968, she was admitted to the Faculty of Graphics of the Ukrainian Academy of Printing. It was through the sale of her pisanki that she supported the defense of her peers as the Khrushchev thaw began to take a number of paces backwards. Her embroidery designs were published by the main women's magazine in Soviet Ukraine, Soviet Woman. These patterns were then copied by embroidery enthusiasts throughout the country. I remember my first trip to Kiev in the summer of 1990 and how Russified I found the city to be, and this was all the doing of Moscovite and Soviet politics. However, Panchenko well understood her place and was quoted, "Politics was imposed on me all my life, and I was far from it, but I always and everywhere spoke Ukrainian." I remember first seeing a picture of her with her telltale long braid back in the late 1980s while studying that period of Ukrainian descent. Urban legend has it that she was given a young crow to nurse back to health, which she did, and that crow became her companion. In 2001, Panchenko was awarded the Vasilstus Prize for talent and courage. Though when the power of Muscovy decided to attack Ukraine, and starting with her hometown of Bucha, Panchenko had started a hunger strike in the protest of this attack. Her hunger strike apparently began when the barn next to her home was hit by a carefully targeted rocket. With that, Putin had announced his desire to destroy everything Ukrainian. It is said that her dog Bonya led neighbors to find her in a very bad state. She began to eat once again while in Kiev Hospital No. 5, though finally reached the end of her life's journey on April 3, 2022, at the age of 85. Today, I call out all listeners of Nashholes to do some exploration on the internet about this woman to learn more about who she was, her works of art, and someone who never liked the dance being propagated by Moscow in Ukraine. I look forward to being with you all again as spring begins to regenerate the environs in which we live. See you all soon. Dobrovacha.
Up next, fellow Montrealers, Privit. From their most recent album, Allegories and Love Songs, here they are with Ya люблю твої очі умрії, I Love Your Eyes.
Я люблю твої очі умрії. Що глянули в душу колись, них мої сподівання й надії, дивним карбом навік запеклись, я узяв тих очей таємницю. Зіниці твої золоті наче воду з ясної криниці, що розхлюпати людям в житті. І дивились на мене ті очі, як веселки з-під маєва брів. Тож диханням твоїм опівночі я людей у житті, я людей у житті, я людей у житті обігрів. Повернешся знову, прочитаєш ти в людських очах свою душу легку і шовкову, по стежках, по лужках, по мотах.
очах. І дивились на мене ті очі, як веселки спідмає бабрів. Тож дихенням твоїм
And now, the latest news from Ukraine, courtesy the Kiev Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. Two Russian strikes on the city of Kharkiv killed four people, including three first responders, and injured 12, the Kharkiv Oblast governor said in the early hours of April 4th. Russian drones first hit the city at around 1 a.m. local time, damaging several homes and a 14-story high-rise building, and wounding a 33-year-old man and a 71-year-old woman. Then at 1:55 a.m., two more drones struck the city, killing the three emergency response workers who were called to the scene following the first attack. According to local police, a 69-year-old civilian woman was also killed. In total, 12 individuals were reported injured as a result of the drone strikes, including an emergency service worker, a policeman, and a nurse. Three high-rise buildings, three fire trucks, a hospital building, and two ambulances were damaged in the attacks. Separate attacks on Kharkiv Oblast on April 3rd injured a 55-year-old woman and a 70-year-old man. Settlements in Ukraine's Kharkiv Oblast are subjected to near-daily attacks by Russian forces, due to their proximity to the border with Russia. Russian forces carried out a targeted attack on a solar power plant in Ukraine for the first time since the beginning of the full-scale invasion. Moscow has recently intensified its missile and drone strikes against Ukraine's critical infrastructure, launching large-scale attacks on energy facilities across the country. Over the past month, Russian forces reportedly launched over 400 missiles and 600 Shahed-type drones. On April 3rd, the enemy targeted a solar power plant, said Volodymyr Kudrytsky, the head of Ukraine's state grid operator, Ukrenergo. This is the first case, at least in my memory, of a targeted attack on a renewable energy facility, he said, without disclosing the location of the solar power plant. Kudrytsky said that there is no acute shortage in the power system, as total electricity consumption is falling due to the warm weather. In March, Russian attacks reportedly damaged or completely destroyed 80% of the thermal generating capacity of DTEC, Ukraine's largest private energy company. Russia's March 22nd strike destroyed the Zmiyev thermal power plant, which is among the largest in Kharkiv Oblast. Recent attacks also damaged all the power units of the Burshtyn thermal power plant in Ivano-Frankivsk Oblast and the Ladyzhin thermal power plant in Vinnytsia Oblast. Among Moscow's other targets in March were the Khaniv hydroelectric power plant in Cherkasy Oblast, the Dnister hydroelectric power plant in Chernivtsi Oblast, and Zaporizhia's Dnipro hydroelectric power plant. The hydroelectric power station 2, HPS-2, one of the two stations of the latter, is in critical condition following the attack. The dam itself suffered damage as well, but officials said that there was no risk of a breach. A Ukrainian man was sentenced to life in prison on April 4th for his role in helping Russian forces target an attack on a cafe in Kramatorsk in June 2023 that killed 13 people and injured at least 60. The news was reported by the Prosecutor General's office. Russian forces fired two Soviet-era S-300 missiles at Kramatorsk on June 27, 2023. One of them hit a restaurant in the city center, popular with volunteers, journalists, and soldiers, who all often use Kramatorsk as a base of operations in Donetsk Oblast. The Security Service of Ukraine, SBU, reported shortly after the attack that it had detained a local man for reportedly helping target the strike. The man was reportedly in charge of finding out whether the restaurant was working and whether it was busy. The restaurant was full of civilians at the time of the attack. Doctors Without Borders, an international medical humanitarian organization that provides help in conflict zones, reported on April 5th that its office in Pokrovsk was bombed and completely destroyed. The organization's office in Pokrovsk, around 50 kilometers northwest of the Russian-occupied regional capital Donetsk, came under attack at about 3 a.m. local time. The office's employees were not wounded, but five local residents who were nearby at the time suffered injuries. The attack on our office is far from an isolated incident, said Vincenzo Porpliglia, Doctors Without Borders emergency coordinator in Ukraine. Destruction of civilian infrastructure has been a characteristic feature of this war for a long time, he said. In his morning update on the consequences of Russian attacks over the previous 24 hours, Donetsk Oblast Governor Vadim Filashkin reported that two people had been killed and another nine had been injured, including five in Pokrovsk. Filashkin also said that 17 houses had been damaged in the Pokrovsk attack. Since the start of Russia's war against Ukraine in 2014, local and international charities and volunteers have been risking their lives to help civilians in frontline areas. This is not the first time they have come under attack. A Russian FPV, first-person view drone, reportedly struck a volunteer's car in the front line of Chasiv Yar in Donetsk Oblast on January 26th, destroying humanitarian aid for locals. In September last year, two foreign workers were killed and two more were hospitalized when their car was struck by Russian shelling while driving through Chasiv Yar. When asked what language they speak at home, 12% of Ukrainians said they speak only Russian, while 59% said they speak only Ukrainian, according to a poll by the Sociological Group Rating published on April 4th. A similar survey they conducted in 2022 showed that 18% of respondents spoke exclusively Russian at home, down from 26% at the end of 2021. The latest survey also showed that 28% of respondents said they speak a mix of both languages at home. Among those who only speak Ukrainian, 9% of respondents said they had recently switched to Ukrainian. In the west of Ukraine, 93% of respondents said they speak exclusively Ukrainian at home. In the east of Ukraine, 23% speak only Ukrainian, 25% speak only Russian, and 51% speak a mix of both at home. The poll was conducted via telephone interviews with 2,000 respondents living across Ukraine, except in areas under Russian occupation. Ukraine's Culture Ministry recently launched a program aimed at bolstering the Ukrainian language's role in everyday life, with the aim that by 2030, 80% of Ukrainians speak Ukrainian at home. A poll in March showed that Ukrainians are widely opposed to the use of Russian language in official settings, with 81% against Russian being used as an official language in their region or as a state language. The General Staff of Ukraine's Armed Forces reported on April 4th that since the beginning of its full-scale invasion on February 24th, 2022, Russia has lost 445,040 troops in Ukraine. This includes 670 Russian casualties just over the previous day. According to the report, Russia has also lost 7,018 tanks, 13,386 armored fighting vehicles, 14,861 vehicles and fuel tanks, 11,171 artillery systems, 1,026 multiple launch rocket systems, 746 air defense systems, 347 airplanes, 325 helicopters, 8,817 drones, 26 ships and boats, and a submarine. And that's the news from Ukraine for today. Coming to you courtesy the Kyiv Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. For more up-to-date news stories as they happen, visit their website, kyivindependent.com, and make sure to follow them on social media. To allow this independent Ukrainian news team to continue delivering you news from on the ground in Ukraine, please consider becoming a member at kyivindependent.com. Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community.
April of this year is filled with art workshops by Ukrainian artists here in Vancouver. On Sunday, April 7th, at the Holy Eucharist Cathedral in New Westminster, you can learn and practice the art of clay pottery by Ivashkiv Ceramics. The classes are from 3 till 6 p.m. and it costs $30. To book your time, you may call 236-268-9558. Once again, it's 236-268-9558. Join professional artists of Ivashkiv Ceramics on April 7th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Holy Eucharist Cathedral to learn clay pottery. On Tuesday night, April 9th, from 6 to 8 p.m., join the workshop by Tanya Znak to learn how to create vytynanka. Vytynanka is a paper cut art. In Ukrainian interpretation, it includes traditional symbols and ornaments. It will take place at the Plasket Gallery in New Westminster at 735 8th Avenue. The workshop price is $45, including all the materials. You can connect with Tanya Znak to book a spot via her Facebook TanyaZnak or find this and other events in the Facebook group Ukrainian Events. At Massey Theatre in New Westminster, you can see professionally created vytynankas of different scales and meanings. Tanya Znak, supported by United Way BC's United for Ukraine Local Love Fund, initiated an exhibition of vytynankas created by multiple Ukrainian artists in Canada. The exhibition is on till April 30th and it is free. Please come and enjoy the vytynanka exhibition at Massey Theatre in New Westminster. On April 27th, Saturday, Svetlana Denisova, known in Vancouver for her Petrikivka art, is sharing her knowledge at the workshop of Petrikivka. Participation is $30 and registration is via email svetad.design@gmail.com. One more time, svetad.design@gmail.com. This workshop is a part of a spring market at the Ukrainian Community Society of Ivan Franko in Richmond. It begins at 11 a.m. on Saturday, April 27th. To learn more about Ukrainian events, visit the Facebook group Ukrainian Events to be constantly updated.
On Wednesdays, tune in to the Nanaimo edition of Nash Holos, which can be heard in the Vancouver listening area at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM on the radio dial and streaming online at chly.ca. And at 6 p.m. Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver or catch the live stream at am1320.com for another hour of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Please send us your suggestions, dedications, and requests. Your comments are always welcome. In between broadcasts, visit our Facebook page, and for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feed, and a link to our Patreon site where you can support our work if you like, visit our website at www.nashholos.com.
Дівчинку чи курденьку, любиш себе душечку рум'яненьку, гей, гей, гау, ха-ха, дівчина рівчина молода, гей, гей, гау, ха-ха, дівчина рівчина молода, засилав я старості у неділю, думав, погуляємо на весіллі. Гей, гей, гау, ха-ха, дівчина рівчина молода. Повернутися з рушниками, але повернулися з гарбузами. Гей, гей, гау, ха-ха, дівчина рівчина молода. Гей, гей, гау, ха-ха, дівчина рівчина молода. Думав я втопитися з тої злості, та вода холодна, я ломить кості. Гей, гей,
дівчинка молода. Гей, гей, гау, ха-ха, дівчинка, рівчинка молода.
Anatoly Rudenko and the Folklore Ensemble Cave with Once I Had a Girl. Нагадую, ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос», радіо нашого коріння, на багатомовній радіостанції АМ 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим, цими словами мудрості. Як хочеш добре і весело жити, то привикай щодня добре робити. And our proverb of the week translates as, if you want to live well and happily, get used to doing good every day. And with that, we've come to the end of another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320, CHMB Vancouver. If you missed the on-air or live stream broadcast, you'll find the podcast feed at our website, www.nashholos.com. And of course, you'll also find Nash Holos on your favorite podcast app. Well, our time is up, so to wrap up the show, we've got the Interlake Polka Kings with the Fisher Polka. I'm Pavlina, on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening, and dobranich!
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.